I'm Mike Salem. My dad, Pastor Salem, touched lives all over the world with his timeless biblical teaching through his messages. We are thrilled we can continue to do so through these broadcasts each week. We hope you will invite your family and friends to join us to worship together. Thank you for your wonderful notes and letters you send to us. From Wyoming, I have been watching Pastor Salem for many years and dearly love his sermons. I am 92, and during the winter months, you are my church. I watch you every Sunday and pray I can continue to do so. Thank you, and God bless you all at CWH. And from Nebraska, your television program helps me more than you realize. Your weekly service gives help, answers, prayers, and offers salvation to so many. We appreciate your ministry. Today, Elijah, a grand man who stood for God, is our last message in the series of great people in the Bible where we can take lessons from their lives. We hope you will be uplifted by today's program. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we're always happy when the weekend comes, because then we know we're going to get to meet all of our friends all over the world. And someday we're going to be in heaven together if we have Jesus, have to have Jesus. Well, we have a sermon today. I know you're going to like it. It's about Elijah. And Elijah leaves us some lessons. And so I hope that you'll just stay with us and listen to this great man of God and his stand for the Lord. We're looking at Psalm 95 as we open today. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it. And his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we are the sheep of your hand. That means you hold us. And we are safe and secure because of Satan or all hell can't touch us when we're in the Father's hands. And now we're praying that everyone who worships with us and everyone who hears us will be sure they've opened their heart to Jesus and they are a part of his flock, the sheep of his hand. Bless us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hank is singing, How Great Thou Art. God bless you, Hank.
Oh, Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble
great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Well, God bless you, Hank. Thank you so much for that. And doesn't that just thrill your soul when you know that great and wonderful God who made the world and holds it in order and place and all loves us individually, everyone. He knows our names and he knows how we feel and he knows when we have troubles and trials and discouraged like Elijah was. What a wonderful God, and you can know him personally. That's our prayer on the Christian Worship Hour. We have to read some letters. We get letters all the time saying we would like to hear from these people that write in. And I'm getting the feeling they would rather hear the letters than the sermon. But that ain't going to happen because I'm called to preach. And I'll read the letters and I can preach a little bit with those letters maybe. But you just got to have a sermon, don't you? You won't feel good if you don't get one, good or bad. You'll just make a difference. Well, here's first one is from Redmond, Washington. And this person writes and says, bless you for spreading the word of God and believing in Jesus. We're both retired and in our 70s, are members of the Holy Spirit Lutheran Church in Kirkland, Washington. We watch your show, Christian Worship Hour, regularly before our worship hour. Listening to your sermons helps us strengthen and believe us in Jesus. Well, I'll tell you why those sermons help you is because it's the Word of God. All I'm doing is just sharing the Word of God with you. And a parent could really do that if you had him trained pretty good. Just use the Word of God because that's where the power is. And when we hear the Word of God re-preached or when we read the Word of God, that's why we need to read the Bible every day. And we got just a letter just this last week from a lady says, my husband and I have read the whole Bible through in a year, and now we're going to do it again. Isn't that beautiful? And so that's where the power is. And that's why when the preachers, if they preach the Word of God, they can preach with authority. They don't have to get up and say, it could be, I hope so, it might be, I hope, and this, all the rest of it. They says, thus saith the Lord, period, bang, and that's it. That's where Elijah was, and that's where the power is. Well, let's see. Here's Benson, Arizona. Oh, I like this. You're going to like this letter. I'm an 82-year-old lady that's been watching and listening to you for at least 10 years. I love and laugh at your sense of humor and bringing me even closer to God. Now, listen to this. All of my family, grandsons, great-grandsons, grandchildren are cowboys. Yes, I believe cowboys are very spiritual, and I'm proud of them. And I'm going to tell you that a lot of those cowboys are spiritual. And I'm going to tell you, to get on a wild bull, you have to be spiritual or something, because wouldn't that be a horrible thing? And, you know, I'm a sheep herder, and I always tell people sheep herders are smarter than cowboys because sheep herders don't get on a wild bull. But here are these young men. And I read something, just happened to read something, and that they write and say, Professional Bull Riders Association, every member signs a pledge to salute the flag when it comes by. There's a bunch of jerks could learn something from that. They salute the flag, and I admire these people. Here's one from Salem, Oregon. And they write and say, I pray for you and your staff, musicians, singers, technician people, every single day. I thank God for you, all, and that 95, you're still going strong proclaiming the Lord's message each week. It gives us younger folks for a long and productive life. I am 64. I know the Lord still has a use for me. I underline that. Enclosed is a gift for your ministry to help keep you on the air in Portland, Oregon. You are my lifeline. God richly bless you and yours and your wonderful ministry in 2017. Well, listen, friends. We're to serve the Lord as long as we live. Now, I know there are shut-ins and you're bedridden and your wheelchairs and all the rest, and you get aged and infirm, and I'm getting there. But we can always witness for the Lord. You may not get up and preach and sing, but you can tell people about Jesus, and you can pray, and that's where the power is. And we are, just to get to be 65 and then get a gold watch and go and sit and watch some program that doesn't will leave you with a bad taste in your mouth. And what do you have at the end of the day? You don't have nothing but froth. And so we to serve the Lord. You know what? You don't find retirement in the Bible. You don't get that from God. You know where you get retirement age from, 65? Get it from the politicians. That ought to tell you something. You know what God says about retiring? Here, let me read it to you. Genesis 2, verse 19. He's talking to Adam. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. No, it doesn't say until you're 65. And then you go retirement. You don't have no sweat. Don't have to sweat anymore. You just live off your retirement. He says you from the sweat till you return to the ground. He says, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And what I am saying is, you may have to slow down. You may have to stop dead in your tracks, but you can still witness for the Lord and pray. And that's what we have to do, because that's the reason we're here. Some people say, well, why did God let me live this long? He left you live this long because he's got work for you to do. And I'm going to tell you something else. Most wonderful joy in the world is serving Jesus, being in the Lord's work. And every one of you, I don't care. You say, well, I don't have any education. Well, that doesn't make a bit of difference. You can tell them what's in your heart. You can tell them about Jesus and how Jesus came into your heart. And how he gave you peace and joy. Maybe he didn't make you rich. Maybe he did. I don't know. Maybe he didn't. Maybe you're just poor as a church mouse. But you're happy. You got peace. You got joy. And I'm going to tell you, they tell me a lot of these rich people aren't very happy either. This isn't what we have. It's what has us. And that's the Holy Spirit. And that's the Lord in your life. Oh, it's the only way to travel. Well, let me see. Here is Kalispell, Montana. And I like this letter, too. It says here, I watched your TV program, The Christian Worship Hour, this morning and really enjoyed it. I was baptized when I was an infant, but I didn't grow up going to church. And sadly, my birth mother passed away when I was 6 days old. I am 32 years old now. I was wondering if you could send me some literature so I can learn how to lead a Christian life. Isn't that beautiful? Well, believe me, we sent that literature. And I'll tell you how you lead a Christian life. The first thing you do is become a Christian. You ask Jesus into your heart and you just say, Dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. And God knows we've all got our sins, whether we admit it or not. And he wants us to admit it. He knows we're a sinner, but he wants us to confess it. I tell dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. I ask you to come into my life and take away my sins, and I'll follow you the best I can. Thank you, Jesus. You can do that. And you know, some people say, I don't know how to pray. I talked to a man some time ago now, and he talked to him about accepting Jesus. And he said, I would like to make that prayer. I said, all right, in your own words now, you just follow me. And I gave those words, and I gave them to him, and he prayed to God to forgive him. And then he never prayed, in his life, I don't know. He didn't know enough to say amen. He said, goodbye. Fine, fine, God understands. That man is in heaven now. He had brain cancer. He's in heaven. And you may have to go any day, any minute. You may get run over by a truck. God only knows. I may not even be here till the end of the sermon. Wouldn't that make some of you happy? But we're going to go, and you may not have time to get ready. So here's a man, he says, I want to lead the Christian life. And so you do it by accepting Jesus. So we set literature. Some of the people, we call them, or they'll call us. We'll pray with them over the telephone to accept Jesus. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. Let's see. Here's Ocean Park, Washington. Thank you for giving us the true word of God. I love starting the week each Sunday with your message. May God bless your ministry and the people who work with you. Enclosed is a small gift for the bread which you supply. Isn't that a nice way of saying? The bread. Jesus says, I'm the bread of life. And we preach Jesus, preach the Bible, and that's the bread for spiritual life. And so you start the Christian life by accepting Jesus, and then you eat the bread. You study the Bible, you read the Bible. You say, well, I don't understand it. Well, we don't understand all the Bible anyway, but there's so much good in it, and there's so much that's just plain as day. And the more you read it, the more you'll understand it. And you can't read the Bible without getting a blessing. Sanford, Illinois, you came into my life April 2012. I'm a shut-in, but I needed a church. I watch you now on TV. Well, from all over the world, people join us, and we're the church, we're the body of Christ. When we accept Jesus Christ, we're the body of Christ, we're the church, the invisible church. And so that's why we emphasize, you have to have Jesus, you have to receive Jesus. And when you do that, we're all the body of Christ all over the world, gathering at Jesus' feet, worshiping him week after week after week. And someday, we're going to see each other, and we're going to see the King. We're going to see God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And we're going to see Elijah and all so many glorious things. Just rejoice in the Lord. Here's Davenport, North Dakota. And this is from a little girl, 8 years old. She says, hi, it's me, Livia. How are you? I hope you're doing well. I'm doing fine except for my teeth hurting from getting my braces tightened. Well, I don't have that problem because I got most of my teeth pulled. So that I'm past that. But that's her problem. She's getting her braces tightened. I'm sending my tithe from my allowance of $38 to help your ministry. I still pray for you every night. May God bless you. I'll write more later. Love, Livia, 8 years old. I was 10 years old when I accepted Jesus. This little girl accepted the Jesus when I think she was six or seven when she accepted the Lord. I've got several letters from Livia. Can't wait to see her. I won't get to see her in this life. I'll see her over there. One other letter, Eagle River, Arkansas. May God bless you always. I love the Christian worship hour. And then listen to what she says. My husband, who passed away this year, had accepted Jesus in his life because of your service several years ago. Love you all. Well, listen, friends, when you pray for the Christian worship hour and when you give us, when you help us with your gifts, it makes it all possible. And I'm going to tell you how you can do that if you want to write us a letter. And if you want to help us in the work, because we have to have your help, we have to pay our bills just like anybody else. But you can have an investment in the souls of others, not just coming to Jesus, but encouraging others and the lonely and the weary and the young people who need guidance. It's the best investment you can ever make. So you write to us, the Christian Worship Hour, Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402, USA. And those of you on shortwave radio, all over the world, we reach 90% of the world's population by our shortwave radio. So I'm going to give that address another for you folks. But you're on television, it's on the screen. Now, if you want to, we have a little paper. We put our little Bible study called the New Song, New Song. And it's on a beautiful study this week, this month, which the lesson is on the seven reasons why I know I'm going to heaven. It's free and postpaid. We ought to charge for it. It's worth a lot of money, but we're good-hearted. And so we'll send it free and postpaid. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Now you say, well, I'd send them some money, but I don't know what they'll do with it. Maybe they'll spend it on riotous living. You know, 95 years old, I'll do a lot of riotous living, I'll tell you, with my cane and with my walker. But if we've got a guarantee for you. We are a member of an organization that's international. It works with churches and Christian organizations all over the world. It's called the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. You can get it on the internet and you can read all about that organization. They audit our books on what we get and how we spend it and what we do with it. And how we handle it, who picks up the money, who opens the money, who counts the money. How do you do all that's double checked all the way along. And then our books they go through them. They can walk in that door anytime and look at our books. And every year we have to fill them out. So you can make a gift. It'll go where we say. It'll go for the preaching of the gospel. So we hope that you'll write to us. Now here's, I'm going to give it one more time. This is for our people in the shortwave. Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And here's some good news. If you want to send it over the internet, you get ChristianWorshipHour.com, and you can send it from anywhere in the world and help us in the work. So God bless you. God bless you, everyone. So now I'm going to pray, and Jan's going to play, and you give as the Lord lays on your heart. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for all those who help us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jan. God bless you. We're reading from 1 Kings chapter 18. And in this is the story of Elijah. And there's been a famine in the land and a drought in the land. And now they're going to have a meeting on Mount Carmel. And Elijah is going to have a challenge against the priests of Baal, 850 of them against one man. And they're going to pray for fire to come down and consume all of the offering that they have. And this is the incident as it takes place. And these priests, these 850 priests have gone through all their things all day long. And then we read in verse 36, 1 Kings 18, 36. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed and burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. And we're going to pray. And in our prayer today, we always pray for the persecuted church. We're going to pray for the persecuted church in North Korea. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for Elijah and we thank you for this great challenge that he was willing to stand alone against 850 false prophets and that to show the whole empire, the whole nation of Israel, that there is one God, the Lord God Jehovah, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and that God, he showed it by bringing down the fire, and the old false prophets couldn't get a spark. But Elijah, you proved beyond a doubt that you are God. And so we're just praying today, Lord, that there will be people everywhere will see that you are the God, you are the one true God, and Jesus Christ is your Son, the great Savior of all, and that we need Jesus to get to heaven. We have to have Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And so may multitudes come to you today. And Lord, we're also praying for the shut-ins and the lonely and the weary and the hurting. We're praying for the young people maybe caught up in some addiction, Lord, with all of the drug traffic and all of the horrible things happening, and they're in despair. And help them to see that there's a God that will deliver them, a God who loves them, who will forgive them all their sins, will come into their heart and dwell in their heart forever, and take them eventually to heaven and make life worth living. Bless your people wherever they are. And Lord, we pray for our brothers and sisters in the persecuted church. More have died for you in this last year than at any time in history. All over the world, there's an attack upon Christianity, and maybe it'll come to us in America, but wherever some, Lord, we're worshiping with us right now, and the persecutors are at the door. They're in their neighborhood. They're in their town. And so I just pray, Lord, that you'll bless them and encourage them and help them to know that as we see them stand for you, it makes us stronger. And they are a blessing to us, and we're rooting for them, and we're praying for them. And we know that the end result, the final, there's be that day when the trumpet will sound and the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall be raised first, and the rest of us shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the ever. Lord, we will be with you forever and ever. So we pray that all of everyone who watches or hears this service will open their heart to Jesus if they haven't done it. And we'll give you the thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Barb's going to sing Sweet Hour of Prayer. God bless you, Barb.
Sweet Hour of Prayer, Sweet His face and glad. sweet hour of prayer, and wait for thee, sweet hour of prayer.
Thank you, Barb. And I'll bet there's a lot of amens to that, because we know there's a wonderful time when we go to the Lord in prayer. Sometimes you'll be discouraged, sometimes you're downhearted, and you just spend a little time with Jesus. Just get alone and talk to Jesus. And I love to read the Psalms. I love the Psalms. And so you could read some of the Psalms or whatever you want to read and just talk to Jesus. A little talk with Jesus makes it better all the time, every time. Well, we're going to talk about Elijah. I love Elijah. He was a grand, great man of God, and he stood alone for God. And you just can't help but admire him. And so you read about Elijah. His name means my God is Jehovah. And we don't hardly know anything about him. We don't know anything about his family. We don't know anything about his birth. We know he was called a Tishbite, and that means that he came from Tishba in Gilead. That's all we know about Elijah, about his background and his home and so forth. It seems that he may have been well into his years when he comes to the scene that we're looking about today, where he challenges the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel and has that great victory. He may be a little bit older in age, but we really don't know, and it really doesn't matter. He was a recluse, that he lived away from the cities, and he lived out in the wilderness somewhere, no who knows where. And his garb or his mantle was made of horsehair or camel's hair. And he had a girdle made out of leather tied around his waist. And so he wore the garb of a prophet, because a prophet he was. Now, the time that Elijah lived, Israel's religious life was in a crisis. And they had a king, his name was Ahab. And he had a wife. And her name was Jezebel. And you don't name your children, you don't name your little girls Jezebel. You don't even name your dog Jezebel. I know one man had a dog, he named him Judas, but I never heard anybody, anything, even a cow or a horse named Jezebel, because she was a very wicked woman. She was a Canaanite. And she worshiped the false god called Baal, B-A-A-L. And under Jezebel's strong influence and Ahab's weakness, the king, he was afraid of her, I guess, or something, but she wore the breeches in that place. And under her leadership, she brought in the Baal worship, and it swept the whole land of Israel. And Jezebel appointed priests and prophets of Baal by the crowds. And in the meantime, she not only did that, but she put out a death warrant for all the prophets of Jehovah. And many of those prophets were killed outright, and some of them, they were violently killed, and others had to hide in caves in the mountains. And so it just seemed like the worship of Jehovah, so far as Israel was concerned, was going to perish from the land. Only 7,000 believers remained in all the entire empire of Israel. And we know that because God says there were 7,000 who hadn't bent the knee to Baal. And so suddenly, out of nowhere, Elijah comes on the scene, and he comes to King Ahab. And he stands right before him, and he looks him in the eye, and he tells him something like this. He says, just as surely as Israel lives and the God of Israel lives, there's going to be a famine, and this famine is going to last, and there won't be any rain for several years. And he says it isn't going to rain until I say the word. And then God tells Elijah, you just go and leave Ahab now. You've given your message. You stood to the king. To the king, you've told him that. Now you go to a place called the Brook Cherith, and you stay there. It's at the east where in the river where the Jordan River enters into the Dead Sea on the east side. And God says, you go to the Brook Cherith, and you stay there, and I've commanded the ravens, and they'll bring you food, and they'll bring you food to eat without fail. And that's exactly what he did. And it just shows you the great faith of Elijah. He's sitting out there in that little brook out into the wilderness, and his only water is from that brook, and the only food is if those birds happen to fly in with the food. And it just shows that God is the God of nature. And he tells a giant fish to swallow Jonah. And he tells the birds to take this to Elijah. He talks to the wind, and the wind stops, and the sea is calm. This is the God of creation. And all of creation listens to him and obeys him. And so here comes the birds, and he's fed. Every morning and every evening, the ravens are there. And so just like Elijah said, just like Elijah told to Ahab, there was no rain and there was no dew throughout all the land. And so there became a drought throughout the whole land. And lo and behold, the brook Cherith dried up. And then God told Elijah, go and live in the village of Zarephath near the city of Sidon. And he says, there's a woman there, a widow woman, and she'll take you in. And I'll give her instructions to feed you. And then God performed a miracle. And so he did just like God told him. Elijah went there and to this woman of Zarephath. And God said, God took the meal and he took the oil so that it never ran dry all the time during that drought. And God provided for him and took care of him with this woman. And one time the woman's son died. And Elijah raised him from the dead, brought him back to life. For 3 years and 6 months now, there hasn't been any rain throughout all the land. No rain, no dew, nothing. And now the famine started coming across the land. And Ahab is angry as he can be. And he knows it. He's remembering what Elijah said. He says, I'm going to call a drought, and you'll get no rain anymore until I tell it to rain. And all Ahab was so mad, he's put out word to kill Elijah, to find him. And he says, if I don't do anything else in my life, I'll get Elijah and I'll kill him. And so he searches for the prophet to kill him. But God instructs Elijah then to go to the king. And I just thought, you know, if I'd have been Elijah, and he's out, he's got his army with him, he's going to kill me. And I got to go look him up instead of him looking me up. And I'd pray hard to see if I was listening to God, if he's coming through that way. But that's the way he was coming. But you know what Elijah did? He didn't hesitate a minute, didn't pray or anything, didn't stop a minute. Yeah, right away, he went out and found the king. And when he found old Ahab, he said, so it is you. Ahab cries out when he meets the king. So it's you, is it? The man who brought this disaster upon Israel. And Elijah is not intimidated in the least, not for a moment. And Elijah thunders back and talks back in 1 Kings 18, verse 18. He says, you're talking about yourself. Your family refused to obey the Lord. It's all here because you worship Baal and you're paying for that. And then this Elijah, he's fearless. He's not scared of the king or anybody else. And he challenges the king, and he says, now I'll tell you what you do. You bring the people of Israel to Mount Carmel, and you bring all of the prophets, 450 of them, and bring all of the 400 prophets of Baal, of Ashtoreth, and 450 prophets of Baal, 850 altogether. And he says, you come on an appointed day, and you bring them, And we'll make an altar. They can build an altar. I'll build an altar. And we'll pray from fire from the bring their gods to send fire. And they can pray for their God to send fire. And then I'll pray for my God to send fire. And the one who sends fire, let him be God. And so Ahab agrees to it. And so they meet. And on that day, Elijah, you know, you can just see him. He's wild and he's shaggy hair and he's got a sheepskin cloak and he's tied with a piece of rawhide. And against that, here's 850 of the prophets of Baal and Ashtoreth. And are they fixed up with their robes and their gowns and their ornaments and their vestments and their ties and all? God only knows what they'll be wearing. They're all fixed up and here's this shaggy old man standing there all by himself. Well, he has his servant with him. And if the prophets of Baal pray for fire all day to come down on their altar, and they pray all day long, they throw themselves on the altar. They cut themselves with knives. They cut themselves as they hit on the stones on the altar. They cry to their God all the day, and Elijah, he makes fun of them. And he says, oh, maybe your God is out courting some woman. You better pray louder. Can you imagine that? And they cry, and there's a commotion, something, and there's no voice from God, no answer from their God. There's no voice. There's nothing there. And worse yet, there's no fire for the offering. And then toward the end of the day, Elijah steps up, and he calls to the people. And he says, come over here. And all the crowd came over to Elijah. And Elijah builds the altar. He places a young bull upon it, and he prays. And listen to him pray. Oh, Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, prove today you're the God of Israel and that I am your servant. Prove that I have done all this in your command. Oh, Lord, answer me, so these people know there's a one God, a God alone. Just a little short, beautiful prayer. And look what happened. Fire flashes from heaven and consumed the sacrifice. And then we read, and when the people saw it, they fell to their faces upon the ground, shouting, Jehovah is God, Jehovah is God. And then Elijah had them kill the false prophets of Baal. And the rain came down on the parched earth and fed them, gave water to the earth. Elijah was elated at the results. And I'm sure he thought in his heart, oh, this is glorious. There can be no question. All of the nation will turn back to God. And Ahab will turn back to God. And Jezebel will turn back to God. And she'll see that there's a God in heaven. Oh, Elijah is thrilled to death. But lo and behold, old Jezebel, she's just in the other, turns just the other way. You see, you can do that when you face God, when you face Jesus. You can come closer to him or you can go farther from him, but you'll never be the same again. And there's some of you going to face Jesus right today, and you'll never be the same again. You'll come to Jesus and receive him, or you'll turn him away, but you'll never be the same. And Jezebel never turned to God. She became angry, and she says, you killed my prophets. I'm going to tell you something, Elijah. Before this time tomorrow, you'll be dead. That's the repentance she had. And it was too much battle, too much for Elijah. And he just forgave up. And here's this wicked queen. She's as unrepentant as ever. And Elijah retreats to the wilderness. He just goes and leaves the whole thing, goes to the wilderness. That's where he felt at home. He was a man of the wilderness. He went back into the wilderness. And there he was most comfortable. And he sits in exhaustion under a juniper tree. And he wishes to God he could die. God bless him. He wants to die. And then he lay down, he went to sleep. And pretty soon an angel wakes him up. And there's food miraculously furnished for him. And he ate and he slept. And in the strength of that one meal, he walked. He went 40 days and nights until he came to Mount Horeb. And there he abode in a cave. And then God came and talked to him and appeared to him and recommissioned him. And told him, Elijah, your work isn't done yet. And he recommissioned him. And so he finds Elisha. Elijah finds Elisha, a young prophet. And Elisha wants to follow him. He wants to be a prophet of God also. And so they travel together. And the two of them, Elijah and Elisha, pass from the scene for about 6 years. And then upon his return, Elijah performs miracles for Jehovah. And he's always rejoicing and happy in God. And then finally comes the departure of Elijah. And this is the way the Bible says. It came to pass as they still went on and talked that, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And there you have the life of the great and mighty Elijah. And we'll not forget about him soon. If Elijah was here today, I put down three things that I think he'd tell us. This great man, I think he'd tell us, friends, sometimes you have to stand for God alone. In many ways, Elijah was a lonely man. He had no wife. He had no family. He had no associates. He had no one close to him. He had no close friends that we know of except Elisha at the close of his life. And then he had a servant from time to time. But otherwise, he was a lonely man all by himself. And he comes on the scene all alone. And he goes to Ahab all alone. And though he was alone, he was not afraid to stand before the wicked king Ahab. And he stood alone. He delivered God's message and was no one beside him. And he fiercely makes his stand for God. And on Mount Carmel, the same thing is true. Elijah's all alone standing for God, calling people to repentance, to turn to Jehovah. And alone on Mount Carmel, I guess he was alone, 800 prophets of Baal and Asherah to oppose him. And over against them all, one single individual, Elijah. Elijah sets the model of actions for all of us. Against a wicked king and a wicked king and organized religion and what all of the rest of it, he stands for God. And I'm going to tell you, dear friends, there's time when we need to stand for God. And it will never be easy, but take your stand for God. Elijah chose God. He chose loneliness. He chose suffering. He chose immortality too, because he'll live forever. And that's the call for us to follow Jesus. And I think of the persecuted church. My God, if they aren't going under the sword and under every kind of torture there is, and they are dying more now than any century since Christianity's been established. And they're standing, some of them standing alone, but they're faithful to God. And they sacrifice for God, and they're self-denying. And when Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me, that cross stands for death. Self-denial, first of all, we deny ourselves. We die to ourselves and live for Christ. But literally, they have to follow the Lord. And sometimes you have to do it all alone. And we read of these people in the persecuted church. They're standing for Jesus all alone. And then the second thing is, no one is immune from depression. If mighty men of God like Elijah and John the Baptist can become discouraged, then we're not immune either. Elijah had a tremendous victory. Elijah goes to the servant at Beersheba, and he leaves his servant, and then he goes to Zarephath, and he goes through all these things. But he faced all these things, and he thought, oh, surely this will win. But it didn't win. It turned against him. How could such a thing happen? How could Elijah happen? Well, it could have been several things. It could have been bitter disappointment. After that tremendous victory on Mount Carmel and such a terrible turnaround, maybe a bitter disappointment makes us despondent or discouraged. We believe it so much and we don't make it. Or maybe we're physically exhausted. Maybe Elijah was just tired out to death. And that's why we need to watch our physical health, because there's a tie between that physical and that spiritual. And maybe you need to check a doctor and go to a doctor and get some help. Or maybe it was loneliness. He says, Elijah, when he talks to God, he says, I only am left, and they seek my life to destroy it. He didn't know about those 7,000 believers, those 7,000 who hadn't bent the knee, as I heard one pastor say one time. There were 7,000 believers in Israel, but it took God to find them. Where were they? Elijah didn't know them, but then he'd been in the wilderness. Maybe that was part of the reason. For some reason, he felt all alone and he felt discouraged. And I think of shut-ins, and I think of people on sick beds, and I think of people can't get out anymore, and you're alone, and you maybe get discouraged, and you get downhearted, and you think nobody knows and nobody cares. And it may look like that, but don't remember, don't ever forget that the Lord said he'd never leave us or forsake us, and you are never alone. And the Christian worship, I prays for you, and that's what we got this service for, is to help you and to encourage you. And so this man, God deals with him. He gives him something to eat. He gives him some rest. He lets him rest. He gives him some food. He lets the prophet know that he is near and it cheers him up. He assures him of his success. He tells him, I have work for you to do. There's a reason for you to do. And people on there, they'll say, oh, I don't know why I'm here. I don't know why I'm living anymore. Because God has a work for you to do. And then the third thing is, God always has his faithful remnant. He always has his faithful servant. Elijah thought he was the only one in the kingdom. There were 7,000 others. And God will always have his witness. And the day may come and we may see this persecution of the church and we see how they suffer and we see how the devil wins on so many ways and we see the wickedness in our own United States of America. But all of you other nations, you have your certain sins. And you see, it just seems like sin is in the saddle and there's a winning the day and there's no end to it. But just, I'm gonna tell you, God will always have his people. The day will never come when there are people, he won't have his people. And he can attack the church all he wants, but the gates of hell will never prevail against it, and it will always stand. And at the end, it will be victorious, and the kingdoms of this world will be the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. And the government will be upon the shoulders of Jesus Christ, and we'll rule and reign with him, and don't you forget it. So take heart, Elijah is telling us, just remember, God is alive. He is true. He is strong. He's going to have the last word. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That Holy Spirit that dwells in the believer is greater than all. So the question is, where do you stand with Jesus? Do you stand with the prophets of Baal or do you stand with Elijah? You can't be in both camps. You have to be in one. You'll either love God, you cannot love the world. Cannot love mammon, and you cannot love Christ at the same time. And so we're begging you today, open your heart to Jesus if you've never done that, and call upon the name of the Lord, and you will be saved. For as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God. You're not the children of God until you receive Jesus. As many as received him, they have power to become something they weren't. They become the children of God. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God, even to them that believed on his name. And in John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, as you won't go to hell, but will pass from death to life. Now, if you're accepting Jesus, you write to us. We'll send you literature, Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57403. And you write and we'll send you some literature and help you get you on the Christian life. But you be sure to make that prayer. Jesus, please come into my heart. Take away my sin. Use your own words. And I promise that you'll serve him the best you can. Be his servant. Take up your cross. Follow him and then thank him for saving your soul. Then tell somebody what you did. And if you'll do that, you'll find peace. I'm not saying you're going to find good health and riches and healing and all the rest. Maybe you will and maybe you won't, but you'll have peace at heart. Now we're going to pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the multitudes that are receiving you. All over the world, the doors are opening and the Savior's entering in. And I just thank you for that. And I pray for the people that are hurting and the persecuted church and Christian people that are alone and lonely or weary. Just bless them. We believe that you're doing that right now. And dear Heavenly Father, help all of us to be willing to stand for you and not be ashamed of Jesus, but to be like Paul, that he gloried in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we thank you for the Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. So now you be sure to write to us. We'll be looking for your letter. We're counting on your prayers. And you can do like some of the people are doing. They're telling their friends to listen in, tune in. Because by tuning in, maybe they'll come to know Jesus. Beautiful, beautiful Jesus. He loves you. He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Come to Jesus. By faith, simple faith, come to him. And then next week, we're going to be preaching again, and we're going to be talking about the soul, the value of the soul. Everybody has a soul. And what are you doing with your soul? And where is your soul going to end? It's going to end in heaven or hell. And it's through Jesus you have heaven. That's going to be next week. So tell your friends, tune us in. And in the meantime, let's rejoice in Jesus. Let's look ways to witness. Let's look for ways we can stand for him, stand against sin and the devil. God bless you. God bless you, everyone. And we'll look for you next weekend, Lord willing.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions. And submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.